So, I was very interested in your research in regards to communication failures with people trying to visit their family and friends in jail. You say that it's been shown that it's quite difficult. Can you tell me a little bit about how this research started?
So, how the research started, it essentially comes out of my PhD, where I was looking at risk of being indigenous and non-indigenous prisoners, and trying to understand why some people go back to prison and other people don't. And one of the things that, one of the findings that came out of that research was that visitation was found to be a protective factor in that it reduces risk of reincarceration for non-Indigenous people, but the relationship didn't show up as strong for Indigenous people. And so when we start to try and unpack the obvious question of, okay, well, why is this the case? We have to start to investigate and look at barriers to visitation. So what can prevent or delay visitation from occurring? We know that we want visits to occur because there's many benefits to prison visits, not just reducing risk of reincarceration, but reducing the risk of health problems for prisoners when they're in prison, including suicidal tendencies. Reducing mental health problems for family and friends on the outside, as well as we know that prisoners are more likely to be compliant and better adjust to prison life on the inside, and reduces violence inside prison. So there's many, many benefits to visitation. When trying to unpack or identify the barriers that prevent or delay visitation, there has been some work by other scholars in the field that have looked at, getting to the prison. So, as in transportation and the barriers around transportation, the cost of visits, the actual visit experience themselves. But no one had actually looked at, okay, well, what do people who are new to the process, A, how to apply for visitation, what the rules, what the policies are, and how do they go about accessing this type of information? Because having the correct information and having it readily available can significantly delay or prevent getting visitation approval.
Well, actually, you found out communication really matters, which is not an astounding thing to find because humans are social beings, but it was quite extraordinary what you discovered.
Yeah, so it was quite interesting. One of the really interesting things that came out of the research that I don't think a lot of people think about, and even ourselves, it was interesting to ourselves, was just the starting point that people start from when they start to look for information, and the cognitive stresses and the emotional stresses that people have already experienced by trying to get to the point of needing to access this information. So often people are starting from a point where they're very drained, not just emotionally, but physically drained from all the stress. They're starting from a point of limited trust because they've been told certain things through the court proceedings. They haven't eventuated, so they're already losing trust and legitimacy in the system. So even when they do access information, they're not trusting the information that they're being given. So much so that people, they tend to lean towards trusting information from essentially strangers on social media support sites, because they believe that the information that are coming from them, they believe is more relevant and important to them because they themselves, so they're kind of accessing support sites for family and friends of prisoners in Australia. And so they're seeing these people as credible sources because they believe that they're going through the process and the system, so they know what they're talking about, instead of trusting information that's coming directly from the institutions and the prisons and the government.
Well, that's not surprising when you consider the detail that they need to be aware of before they turn up. So I mean, things like don't wear lace, a whole range of things that you wouldn't even consider in your everyday behaviors are being a barrier for you to see your loved one, right?
Yeah, definitely. And one of the very problematic things with the provision of information around visitation, especially somebody coming new into the system needing to find this information, is that visitation rules and policies, they're not universal. They're not same from prison to prison. Even jurisdiction, or even between public and private prisons. So, especially in Victoria, many prisons have, while there may be some similarities, there will be unique differences between each prison. And unless you're visiting that prison, you won't actually know. And a lot of the information provided on official sites are very generic.
And so, of course, when a person turns up and they've failed one of the provisions, that could be an economic and a time barrier that they just cannot pass.
Correct. Yeah. So often the case is if you turn up for a visit and you don't have one of the required documents, or you, like our participant did, go with a bit of lace on her shirt, your visit will be cancelled. There really is not a lot of leeway for getting the rules wrong. Some of our participants were travelling excessive amounts of time. So I had one participant travel up to 9 hours one way to go and visit a family member in prison, and they had their visit cancelled on them.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Yeah, it can be quite distressing, and not just for the visitor, but also for the person inside. So if they're expecting a visit from their family or friend and they don't show up, a lot of the times it's not communicated to them why they haven't shown up. It's just that, oh, sorry, your visit's been cancelled for today. So it causes a lot of stress on both sides, which can obviously lead to other implications as well then.
It's quite worrying. This kind of the whole thing's very worrying. How did you actually access the people for your study? It's a pretty interesting and a grassroots study that you've actually done.
Yeah, so as I'm sure you can appreciate, and all of your listeners can appreciate, people don't freely go around advertising that they have family or friends in prison that they visit. So it's a very, what we call a hard to determine population. So how we approached it was one of two ways. We paid for a social media advertisement to recruit participants. So we put out a social media recruitment ad asking for people to participate. So we're interested in anyone who had visited people in prison in the last 5 years. The person doesn't necessarily still have to be in prison, but as long as they've visited somebody in the last 5 years, or because we were interested in barriers preventing or delaying visitation, we were also interested in speaking to people who wanted to visit, but for whatever reason they couldn't visit.
And I mean, you found out things like people had delayed visits because they really didn't even know that the prisoner had to put them on a list that said that they were an authorized visitor.
Yeah, so again, that is prison specific. So there are most prisons have that rule that the prisoner has to first put them on their list to essentially get approved, because if the prisoner doesn't want them on the list, then they won't get approved. So in other words,
Well, I
they
mean,
don't
it
want to
makes
see them.
sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And you can see why the establishment would say it, but you could also see why people who don't know anything about this system wouldn't even realize.
Exactly. And in these cases where it was delayed because of this, the person going into prison was often young, and it was their first time in prison, so they weren't aware of the processes. that are in place. And there's, you know, when initially going in, there's a lot of other things to be thinking about and worried about, is besides, oh, I need to put, you know, mum or dad or my brother or sister on my visitor list.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't actually want people acculturated to prison systems, do you?
No, we definitely don't. However, we do want to make sure that we're supporting them and that they're getting the appropriate supports while they're in prison, to make sure that they're coming out in a better position than what they do going in.
Yeah, that's right. And you want to do further research, don't you? Because I was fascinated. I'm interested in communication, and I was fascinated by the idea that you've put forward, that there needs to be further examination and determine the common stresses experienced by people new to the prison visitation system, the trends and patterns in these experiences, and whether they differ for different groups of visitors, which of course makes complete sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So when we're looking at what happens within Australia, let alone the rest of the world, so this is a very under-researched area, surprisingly. It's definitely one of the first in Australia to be looking at this type of research. So generally when we're looking at visitation research, most of the researchers in the space are looking at the impacts and benefits for the prisoner as well as the prison, but there's very, very little that actually looks at, okay, well, how does this experience impact the visitor? And because we know how important visits are, we want visits to occur, well, we then need to understand, okay, well, what is actually happening for the visitor and how does this impact not just them while they're visiting, but their life outside of the visitation process. So we hear a lot from people who are visiting the stigma that they experience, especially when people become aware that they have somebody in prison that they're visiting, as well as the judgment of, you know, guilt by association, that people think, oh, because you've got somebody in prison, you must be just as bad, or you must be in some way an accomplice or guilty as well for the crime. And it really has an impact on people's lives. So a lot of our participants described being this really outgoing, bubbly, very engaged community member. And then when their person goes into prison, because of all of the social stigma attached, they become very withdrawn and completely remove themselves from essentially community life, which we know, you know, increases mental health problems, it increases employability issues. There's so many things that come from it. So when we can look at, we also don't actually know much about the patterns and trends of visitation in Australia. So who are the people who are actually visiting? And who are they visiting in prison? So who are the prisoners that are receiving the visit? How often are they visited? So research shows us the more a person is visited, the less likely they are to reoffend coming out. And we naturally assume, although there's no research that looks at this per se, it is an assumption in the literature, that people who are visited have that pro-social support network coming out of prison that is significantly important. So there is an assumption that all visits are positive visits, but we do know that that's not necessarily the case either. So some visits can be not just a negative experience and traumatic for the visitor, but it can also be a negative and traumatic experience for the prisoner, especially if they're being given bad information or upsetting information. So there's all of these things to kind of tease out, so to speak.
It also puts into context the fact that prison and prisoners are part of our social infrastructure, and that society can't just close its eyes.
Definitely, definitely. So I often say to people that, you know, in Australia, we don't have the option of sending people to prison for the rest of their lives. So people that we send to prison, they will come out into the community at some point. And the question is, how do we want them to come out? Do we want them to come out in a better position than what they were going in to help reduce the risk of reoffending? And if we want that, then the next obvious question is, okay, so what do we need to do to build better supports and systems around essentially what is a vulnerable population?
Yeah. You're doing good work. Good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me.
No worries. Thank you for taking the time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.